Good morning. Everybody seems happy. I think they're enjoying the rain and the cooler weather outside. Sure does feel a lot better than it did first of the week. Excited about the maybe some fall weather coming our way a little bit later the next week or so. I looked ahead and what they're thinking. So excited for that. And fall break this week for Cleburne County. And I think some is broke and went out of town and run away from us. So pray for those that's traveling different things. Excited about today. This afternoon we'll start our cancer ministry. We'll have a time of fellowship tonight to eat also. So everybody come back and bring a casserole with you, or bring something to eat, or some ice cream or cake or whatever you want to bring. But it's going to be a great day. We're going to do things a little different than we do sometime today. Where, of course, you see the communion table prepared, and I'll tell you more about that as we get into our sermon. But before we get started this morning, do we have prayer requests? Remember Ricky? I'm sure there's many others in our town. I know we talked this morning, the family that was in Oxford or Anniston was lost a child there. And I asked you, remember that man and his family? Can't imagine what must be going on in his heart and his mind. So pray for him. And also do pray for our cancer ministry. The ladies said they're already seeing work coming into effect, so there's opportunities popping up everywhere. So be much in prayer for that as we head into it. And again, we've got people traveling different places this week, so just pray for them. Do we have any that we haven't mentioned so far? Okay. Remember him, I think. Now, is that the one that's we've been requesting prayer for in our Sunday school? Okay. Continue to remember him. Couch Whitley got a pretty good report, which is not a good report of cancer, but he got a report that they think is very treatable. I think they're going to do some treatments, then later on some surgery. I think they can take care of it. So thank God for that report. Wasn't no cancer anywhere else than what they had found in the esophagus. So thank God for that report. Any more? Goodness. Remember that family? Remember him?
Also, Judy Cole had a stroke during surgery a couple weeks ago. She's in rehab down the road.
Remember that? There's so much so around us right here. And, you know, we're starting a brand new church year today. Today's a brand new start for us as a church year. And as I said last week, as we start a brand new physical year, in January, we have commercials bombarding us everywhere about gyms and how to get in better shape and that type of thing. So we're going to look at today as a brand new start. Our church was hit with, I don't ever remember a year as pastoring, was much sickness and just trouble as we had last year. So we're praying this year is going to be better. We're going to start brand new today. So let's pray for that. Pray for our upcoming church years. We got a few different leaders in place, not a lot. But last Sunday night, we voted on our new officers for the year. So ask you to earnestly pray for them. Every time you pray, pray for me, pray for the ones who lead our church, and just pray for a desire to lead closer to God. That's where we need to be today. So any others? If not, we'll go, Lord, in prayer, and then our singers will come forth. Father, we thank you today for this day you've woke us up, this other day of life. God, we thank you. Lord, we ask you to be in our service this morning as we meet, that God, we're here for no other reason than to honor and glorify the name of Jesus, for he's worthy. God, we ask you to be with all the ones who are traveling, wherever they may be going this week. God, we pray that you give them a safe travel. We pray you give them health and you give them a good time. We pray they use the opportunity to draw closer to you in the time of rest. God, we ask you to be with all the sick that's been made mention this morning, for they're all around us. There's many that stand in need, whether it's cancer or heart surgeries or different things that, God, we ask you to touch. And, Lord, a special one that's on our hearts this morning is the man in Anniston, Father, but lost a child. We've heard all the things around it. God, only you know the heart and mind of that man, and, God, we pray for him this morning. We pray that you lift him up, give him a peace, and we don't understand how it's possible, but you do. And, God, touch his family in a mighty way. But we ask you to be with our singers this morning as you touch them. Let them sing praises unto your Son. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and worship with us this morning.
are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow. I will listen.
I will listen.
I will love you.
I will love you.
All of my days.
All of my days.
I will sing to you. Will worship.
Will
adore
you. Lord of everything.
I will love
them. You are the
glory.
You are the praise of them.
Oh, that I'm yours. The first time I called you Lord.
Alive because he
dead in the grave. I was covered in sin and shame. I had mercy call my name. He rode the stone away. Amen.
Goodies. We all might need to go. If you got your Bibles this morning, turn over to Exodus. And guys, don't have the scripture to put up there today. And so we're going to do things a little bit different. You see the communion table, and obviously we're going to have communion in a little bit. And my plan is to try to preach this as short as I can, and then let's finish up with our communion service. But I've mentioned several times that this is a brand new church year, a brand new beginning, and y'all know the messages the Lord's been laying on my heart that I preached the last several weeks, and last week we preached to the men. Today's not going to be any different. God's working in my heart and in the church, I believe, and He's desiring to see us go forward, and I question God. We see people come, seem like they go back out the door. What's going on? And I think that God may not send us people until we get ourselves right. So that's what we're going to desire to do this year. And this begins with the leaders. This begins with the men. This begins with, God put this on my heart, and I began reading. And I said, God, you're just amazing how you line this stuff up. And this is the story of the Passover. And as you begin reading the Passover, you'll see something very familiar that God says at the beginning of this thing. He says this is to be a new beginning. This Passover has been a new beginning. He was about to lead His children out of slavery. They say there was millions and millions of these Israelites who was in slavery in Egypt. And God desired them to come out of that. And today, God desires us to come out of bondage we're in, such as sin, the bondage of sin. And then it begins with a dad, begins with a father, begins with the spiritual leaders. That's where it begins. In Exodus chapter number 12. I want you to listen as I read. I'm not going to ask you to stand because you're going to have some standing to do in a few minutes. But Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 through 28. I want you to listen as I read. I want you to listen close. It says, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb." Did you understand that? They shall take to every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take the blood of it, strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the appearances thereof. And he shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remain of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And this shall you eat, with your loins girded, your shears on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be with you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for memorial. You shall keep it. A feast to the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. The manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only be done you. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe it this day in your generations by ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even the soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, where you be a stranger born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened, and in all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out the door of this house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you be come to the land which the Lord will give you according to his promise that he shall keep his service. You shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what you mean by this service? That you shall say it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote both Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. The children of Israel went away, and as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Father, we thank you today for this word. God, we thank you for this Passover. We thank you for this communion we're about to partake in a little bit. And Lord, I pray you let us see for just a few minutes the importance and the reason we do this and why and the responsibilities you've given us as men to bring this about our families. And God, we ask you today to bless in a mighty way, God. Give us a desire to serve you better in this upcoming year than we have in the past. And it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. In the first part of that, when I began reading that in Exodus chapter 12, verse number 3, he gave very specific instructions about who was to create this Passover, who was to prepare the Passover. He says it very plainly. He says, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take unto them every man a lamb. And you look up that word man in the Greek and Hebrew, in this context, it means husband. It means father. It means leader. It means elder. It means the one who is head of the household. That man is to take a lamb. He's not to partake any lamb that he can just find. He's supposed to wait the one that God has prepared. And my friends, today the Bible plainly tells us that God has prepared a lamb and his name is Jesus. And listen, fathers and grandfathers and elders, it's our job to be providing to our family the Lamb of God. How do you do that today? Well, it's very simple. You start with leading them the way he said. You start with getting them into the Word of God. You start with bringing them to church. You start with bringing them into places where this is taught and where it's told about. And you put them in front of God's Word. That's how you've been doing this. And listen, God told Moses, He said the man was to get the lamb prepared. And I began thinking about this, and what if we had this in this day? Sadly to say, I would hate to be a firstborn child in the day and time we live in if this was to be the rule. Because we as men have become so lazy, we become so unconcerned about our families, bless God, we may not even go get a lamb. And if we did, we'd go get one that was sick or blind or lame or something like that. We would do it the easiest way we could do it. We would do it in a way that wasn't going to offend anybody, we would think. We'd go about this thing as nonchalantly as we could be. But listen, my friend, in this day, God gave very specific instructions. He said, you get out a lamb exactly like I tell you. You prepare it exactly like I tell you. And if you don't do this, you know what's going to happen? The firstborn of your family is going to die. The firstborn son is going to be taken from you. And my friends, today, if you knew that, and if you really had that in your heart, maybe us dads would step up and do something. Maybe us leaders would step up and do something if we truly knew that. But may I remind you of something, that although God's not going to take your firstborn today, because no longer do we have to keep this Passover like it says there. Now, we are to do communion because the lamb has been given for us. It tells us, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. That's in the scripture. We are to remember this. I believe it's one of the ordinances of the church that we should do. But I want to tell you, even though we're not bound to hold that Passover meal, what is going to happen is all your children one day are going to die. They're going to die unless the Lord comes. Your children are going to go that way. Now, I ask God and I pray that I'm already gone by that time myself. I think we all want to be. Some of y'all have experienced that awful truth of losing a child, and I can't imagine how awful it is. But parents, I want you to understand something, that one day your firstborn, your secondborn, your thirdborn, or how many you have, they're going to leave this walks of life and face God. And my friend, at that point, it's going to matter if you prepared the lamb for them. If you prepared the lamb for them. Very specific instructions. The family's lives and the future of his family depended on this man preparing the lamb. It depended on this man bringing the lamb before him. Dads, grandparents, when's the last time you presented the Lamb of God before your family? When's the last time you told them about a Savior? When's the last time you prayed with them about a Savior? When's the last time you prayed with them at all? When's the times that you really let them know that you cared about the extent of their soul? You cared about their future, not just what they was going to be, who they was going to marry, but you care about their eternity and where they're going to spend this thing. Listen, we got life so mixed up. This eternal stuff is what matters. What's here today that we can look at, all this is going to pass away. All of it's going to burn up. But eternity is going to be forever. And that's the important thing that we get down today, is understand this thing. Now, I know what you're thinking. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You sure can't. But you can make him thirsty. You can make him thirsty. How do you make a horse thirsty? They say you give him salt. You know what Jesus calls himself? Salt of the earth. What does he call Christians? The salt of the earth. We're to present Christ in front of our family. And listen, I pulled up Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 34. And when you begin reading that, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but this was a very familiar story of a jailer who was saved. And you know what this jailer said? After he saw the prison bars open and all the prisoners were still there and Paul and Silas were just like they were supposed to be, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and listen, and all of your family." And his family was saved that day. And not only was they saved, they was baptized in that day. And they was added into the church that very day. You know why this was? Because Daddy saw a need to be saved. I've told you all the stuff I've read and all the things Lifeway puts out and all these Barna groups and all these things. They've got a list that says if the child gets in church first, you got a very slim chance of the rest of the family getting in church. If the mother gets in church, you got about a 30% chance of all the rest of the church getting in family getting in church. But if Dad gets saved, you know what you have? A 93% chance that the rest of the family will be saved is what you have. That shows to me to be pretty important of how Daddy needs to provide the lamb for the family. Oh, this stuff ain't fun. But listen, church, it's something we got to think about. If we want to go forward and be what God's called us to be, there is no shortcuts. Listen, we've tried every shortcut in the world as a church. We try programs. We try new things that other places are doing. And we see this. Listen, you might can grow in number by those things. That's not what is important today. What's important is drawing closer to God. And the Bible says in the first church, as they drew closer to Him and they kept the Word of God and they was where they supposed to be, that He added daily into the church that should be saved. You get this thing the right way with God and God takes care of the numbers. It's his business anyway. If anybody's saved, it's not the preacher, it's not the deacons. It is the God who adds to the church. And until we get this thing right, we're not going to see God do what God can do. He can do mighty works through this little congregation. So we see the responsibility of the Father. Listen, I want to show you the redeeming. The redeeming of this blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Let me read it to you. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, "In almost all things, or by the law, purged with blood, without shedding with blood, is no remission. It is therefore necessary that the patterns of these things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrificed than these." Without the shedding, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There must be shedding of blood. Why did this lamb have to die for that Passover? It wasn't the life of the lamb. It was the death of the lamb. It was a sacrifice. This lamb giving his life, that his blood could be presented on the doorpost of that house. Could you just imagine? I'm looking at that door right in front of y'all, in front of me, and I was thinking about how that would be. We was to take that hyssop and put a line right down the center of that thing on the doorpost. We was to put a line on the side of that thing, and bless God, you know what it made? It made a cross, didn't it? We was to do that thing, and it was a picture of showing that what was coming was to save man, woman, boy, or girl was the Christ of Calvary. And listen today, that's what's still going to work. It still takes a lamb. But listen, the redeeming power of that blood, you can say, well, I could think of a better way. Surely they could just join a church, or they could do something. My friend, this Bible teaches, unless the blood is applied to the heart post of your door, the door of your heart, you will not in no wise enter in. The death angel will not pass over you. He will not. It must be slain at the appointed time. It must not have a blemish. It must be right. Listen, God knows the time that a soul is to be saved. He told them. He said there's an appointed time that you are to kill this lamb. And listen, every single one of us had a appointed time, I believe, that God said that we was to be saved. He knows all things, so obviously he knew this. Now listen, I believe that it's his will that all men be saved and come unto him. That's the way I believe. I believe he did that. I believe he provided a perfect lamb. But bless God, it's up to you. You got a free will to receive this lamb. But listen, the blood had to be applied. It couldn't be applied just any old way either. Do you realize what it said? In the doorpost and the lintels, on the lintel up there on the door, on the side of the post it was to be done. And Moses even went further than that. Now listen, the Word of God don't say that God told him that you had to do it with a hyssop. So I began studying out, why would Moses have had a hyssop? And although you go on into further sacrifice times, that's how they put the blood on the sacrifice in the Holy of Holies with a hyssop. Now a hyssop is a really small, delicate bush. It's very flimsy. It had leaves that was able to dip in that blood and spread like that. And I began thinking, what is that thing to us? You see, that was a healing agent in that day. It was an herb used for healing. And that thing was used to heal illnesses. And listen, there's no greater healing that needs to be healed than the sin of man. And that hyssop that we have today to apply that blood to our hearts is something called faith. Our faith. The Bible says a faith of a grain of mustard seed can move mountains. This faith is a weak thing in most of us. But yet when it dips in that blood, the power that comes, the power is not in the hyssop, the power is not in the faith, the power is in the sacrifice of the Lamb. And without the shedding of blood, there remains no remission for sins. It had to be applied a special way. I always have in mind this little boy, this little firstborn son I have in mind every time I preach this. Have in mind of him watching. Him watching Daddy go out there and kill that lamb. No worry, Daddy had to go find the lamb first. He had to find the perfect one. I imagine he went along with his daddy and said, "Daddy, what are we looking for? Here's one over here." And Daddy would say, "No, son, that one's got a broke leg. We can't use him. Daddy, here looks like a good one. No, son, he's missing an eye. We can't use that one. We got to have one perfect." I imagine a little boy going everywhere with his daddy hunting that lamb. And listen, the sad thing is today's time, bless God, we have very little time for that, do we? Very little time do we help him find the lamb. Daddy don't help find the lamb very much. You can look around today in our congregation. A lot more women than men. I know a lot of us is gone. Understand that. A lot more women than men. But I can imagine this little boy as he watched Daddy find the lamb. As he watched Daddy kill the lamb. And then he watched Daddy take the hyssop and dip it in the blood and put it on the post. And I can imagine Ray Bolts, I think it was, used to sing a song, "The Blood Is Still There." And he said as the rains would come, the little boy would still look and say, "Hey, is the blood still on that doorpost? Is it still there?" His dad said, "Yeah, son, you can rest assured. I put it there. The blood's still there." Listen, once that blood is applied to the doorpost of our heart through faith, bless God, I believe it stays. How do I know that? Because he told them, he says, do not go out that door all night long. Once that blood is applied, do not go out. And I believe that's telling us that, hey, God's got that door. God's got it secure, and we're safe in that thing. And we're redeemed by that blood on the doorpost of our heart. The reason. We see the responsibility to redeem him, but the reason. God desired his people to go free. God desires you today to be free. Whatever it is that binds you, God desires you to be free. He desires that so much, he went out and found a lamb. He didn't have to go out and hunt. Listen, he knew before the beginning of time he'd give his son for you. He prepared a special lamb. He prepared this thing before the beginning of time for you because he desired his people to be brought back from the bondage of sin. He knew one day that old serpent would beguile Eve in the garden, and he knew they needed to be a redeeming. And he knew that redeeming could only be done by a special lamb. And that lamb was to be the most expensive thing that was ever in heaven or ever would be in earth or ever anywhere in the world, and that was to be his precious, spotless, sinless son, Jesus Christ. He provided him a perfect sacrifice, the reason that you could have life, that you could pass, you could have Passover. When the angel, the death angel is going to come by every one of our doors. You're going to come and physically, yes, we're going to die if he don't come. But spiritually, we don't have to. Because when he comes by your house, that house be in your heart, and he sees the blood applied, he keeps going. He keeps going. That one belongs to Christ. That one's his. I'll pass on over. The reason. That firstborn son was very important. Did you notice it didn't say the second child or the third child? I think for reason this was the firstborn child in Jewish culture was very important. All the inheritance of the fathers was going to be his. Everything he held special rules. The special rules abided to him. He was special in the family. He had a special thing. It wasn't just some, listen, those of y'all will tell you, we cut up about it. Does everybody remember their first child? Everybody raise your hand if you remember your first child. Boy, you treated that thing like gold, didn't you? Oh, if his pacifier fell out, you went and put it under some hot, hot water. Get all the germs out of it. Oh, you would do everything for it. Number two come along, you'd put it in your mouth to clean it off some way, and you'd put it back in their mouths. Number three come along, it could fall in a pile of dirt, and you'd pick it up. The first child's important. Nate, you're lucky. You're blessed. The first one is special. But listen, hell, we ain't got time, but hell, much more special than what I'm making it to those Jewish families, that firstborn child. It was the most valuable thing they owned. And God said, if you don't do this, if you don't apply that blood, I'll take it from you tonight. Not only that, but he took beast, the firstborn of the beast. God still gives specific instructions for salvation. How are we to be saved today? You've got to have a lamb. That lamb's been prepared. Been prepared from the foundations of the world. You've got to have the blood applied. You do this through faith. Just as that hyssop was weak and frail, but it was enough. I believe the moment that your heart decides you're going to follow Jesus, I believe you're saved. I believe you're sealed until the day of redemption. I believe it's not, everybody thinks, well, and listen, coming to the altar is great. I think you should. But I think it's the moment that your heart tells your mind to move towards Christ. I believe that's salvation. The reason for this Passover was salvation, to be with God. Be one day with him forever. What a miracle it is. We're going to do this communion a little different today. We're going to do it a little different. I've never done this. I talked to Jonathan. He said y'all have. So it took a little pressure off. And I'll say this. I've been preaching for 10 years. I've never had a service keep me up at two nights like this one has. I thought, well, God, they ain't going. I started to cancel. A lot of people's going to be gone for fall break. He said, it's a new beginning. Next week's not going to be the start of a brand new year. This week is. God knew he would be here when he put this upon my heart. And I believe that this was to be preached and done as much as anything I've ever done in this church. We're going to do this as families. We're going to do this as families. I'm going to ask in a minute the fathers to come up. And the good thing is, most of our Father's Day here is deacons also. But I'm going to ask the deacons, they're going to come. And the families are going to come with them. Now listen, I begin thinking, God, this is going to be awkward for the ones who don't have somebody there, whose husbands may have passed on, who's this. It's going to be awkward. But God covered that in the Passover. Did you notice that? He said, take a lamb for your house, according to the number of the souls, and there's some for your neighbor. None to be wasted. So what we're going to do, there's not a lot of us in here. I'm going to take my family, and a certain group of y'all can come with me. And one of the deacons will take his family, a certain group of y'all can go with him. You see what I'm saying? If we'll do this, we're going to take turns coming to the table. I'm going to pray for the bread and the juice in the beginning, but then we're going to let each man pray for his own family. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I want you to see the importance of bringing your family to the Lamb. That's what this is. This represents the Lamb of God. I know it's bread and juice, but it's a very significant thing it's representing. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Then we'll ask the men to come forth, prepare the table. And then we'll get our families. We'll come one bunch by time. Now listen, join in. I ask some to come with my family. If your man, leader is not here, or maybe your husband has passed on or whatever, you join in. Because it said this is biblical for the neighbors to join. And we're all one congregation anyway. We're all one big family. And that's what God would have us to do. Father, we thank you for this time. God, we thank you for this service. Lord, we ask your Spirit to be in the midst of us as we partake this communion. God, that first Passover, what a blessing it was for them to know that that death angel had passed over them because of the lamb you'd provided. And God, I know there was a lamb available to any who hunted for one. And I know it was a perfect one. It was a spotless one. It was just like you had it to be. And God, I know you provided us a perfect lamb in your Son, Jesus. God, we thank you for that body. What that bread represents is that body that was broken for us. And God, that juice that is the blood of your precious Son. And God, we ask you today to bless it as we take it in our bodies. And God, that we let us see the significance of this service. It's not something we just do to take up time. But God, let this be a new beginning in our church year. A new start from today that we can be the men, the families that you've called us to be. God, we thank you for everything you do, what you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Men, if you'd come forth, a couple of you, and prepare the table. And then I can start with the ones of my family that's up here. And then whoever wants to join in with me is welcome. We've got three or four of our deacons here today. So you just join in. If anybody you feel more comfortable being with is fine with me. And I ask as the families come forth that the families stand around the table. If you feel more comfortable facing this way, that's not a problem. But I ask that the man serve the family, and then the man's blessed. You can bless the juice and the bread all at one time if you desire to do it that way. I think God's fine with that. And you partake it, and then as you partake of it, set it back down, you go to your seat, the next family will step up. So I guess the rest of mine's gone down yonder somewhere. But Stephanie will come forth. Anybody that feels like joining us, you feel free to come on. We're going to have to break up into groups. Yeah, you can get them.